You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that He will hide us under His feathers, and under His wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVaughn.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com and at www.thefireplacechurch.org, where every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are having church, and we are having groups, and we are having conversation. And you should be part of it. Now, I had a really good time last weekend at the Kingdom Discipleship Conference. And we just had a blast. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy our conferences at Bride Ministries because I learn something every time. There's just something about an atmosphere where a conference is going on, but I'm not the only one talking, that makes it a really, really special place to be. And I am really excited to tell you about the upcoming Sheep Nations and the End of the Age Conference, July 7th through 9th. That's right. It's finally scheduled. It's on our website at bridemovement.com under Classes and Resources. Folks, you can sign up right now. Until June 10th, we are running a reduced price. So early registration has its perks. Go to bridemovement.com and sign up for Sheep Nations and the End of the Age webinar conference. It's going to be online. You don't have to travel. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to make hotel reservations. You don't have to make meal plans. You just have to turn on your computer and get an email. And that's how you're going to experience an entire weekend of teaching and conversation and dialogue and maybe even some debate. Folks, I am very excited about this. It's been a long time coming. People were asking about this, I think, last year. And so we've finally done it. Now, of course, at our website, you can find all kinds of resources. We're continually adding to our prayer resources page. Every time I think of another prayer, I can write or add a resource. I'm just putting it up there. I am just really excited about all that's coming up. We are going to be doing some traveling in the near future as well. I know in August I will be in Toronto. And, you know, I'll probably give some more details once we get closer to that time. But, this Sheep Nations conference, just coming back on that, is actually so much material. So I was going through it. I was like, where am I going to put this and where am I going to fit that? And then I just decided, you know what? This isn't one conference. This is two conferences. So you sign up for the conference in July, but be ready because there's going to be a follow-up conference in August. Both are 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And they are going to build one on the other. And so if you plan on going to the second conference, please attend the first conference. You won't want to miss it, because otherwise you're going to be picking up in the middle of something and you're going to be scratching your head. So this conference is in two parts. If you're going to join us in July, I highly encourage you to be ready for the August conference. And those are both up on our website. You can't sign up for the August conference, just so no one gets confused, but you can look at the dates and make some plans. So with that said, hey guys, we have an awesome program today. Robert Van Dries Mitchell, Illuminati Defector, is back with me to talk about more things that are going to leave your jaw on the floor. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Today, joined again by Robert Van Dries Mitchell. Now, this is the seventh part of a series we've been doing with him on information that he is aware of because, well, he is an Illuminati defector. And he is also a client of mine. We have been working for several years now on his deprogramming, and we've been making quite a bit of progress. And I will say that we do have a new resource at Bride Ministries, and it is a list of heavenly powers. You know, we had this prayer, we're now calling it Freedom from Fallen Angels and Heavenly Powers, and it's at bridemovement.com. And it had an abridged list of heavenly powers for that prayer. And we got a lot of requests from people saying, do you have a more extensive list? Well, we do. And now it is posted over 330 names of heavenly powers, and I'll tell you, virtually all of those have been derived from working with Robert. Now, there's been a lot of overlap with other individuals, but man, oh man, folks, this is just the way it is. Robert is so brave and so courageous, and I am so glad to have you back on the program. Welcome back to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hello, Daniel. It is good to be back on number. I lost the count by now, but it's good to be back. And I don't think the end is inside of the list, to be honest. But I'm able to do this because of my renewed connection with the Holy Spirit and with God, and the glory to God for this. Because without our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ, we never could do this.
Amen.
And through the Holy Spirit within us. So all the glory goes to God in this.
All the glory does go to God. And, you know, we have so many interesting things to talk about today, Robert. And I want to get started on a subject known as the Vril Society. What do you know about that?
The Vril Society is a society that came into being, if I'm correct, about less than 100 years ago, in 1919, I think, around that time. And one of their main people, the main Vril in us, they called the females in these organizations, was Maria Orsic, and she was a highly psychic woman from Austria, from all the places out there, the same country that, of course, Adolf Hitler came from. And she claimed to be in contact with beings, Nordic beings, as it turned out, from a star cluster or a star system called Aldebaran, but it's apparently some 68 light years from Earth. And during the many communications she had, this Maria Orsic and her team of Frau Linnen, female mediums, psychic mediums, they had received a lot of communication through ancient script, even what was turned out to be like Sumerian script, and even ancient Germanic script, scripts that they couldn't know themselves, as what turned out later through through the scientists that are studying ancient cultures in Germany. And Germany, of course, was one of the countries that were highly developed within the occult and occult sciences and occult histories. And at one point, they received communications, including with how to create things like what we call nowadays like UFOs. After the war, the Allied forces, of course, captured a lot of documentation, including frill machines, like the Hennebus UFOs series. And those derived from the communication that the Frill Society had since 1919 onwards.
Mm.
And they were part, and they were instrumental in also the German space program that preceded our, you could say, the Rothschild / Illuminati / US space program. But the space program, especially of Germany, is also related not only to, in this case, to the Frills Society, because they were the, you could say, the civilian arm of the government, or at least the civilian part of contact with alien beings, and also with the space program that the Nazis put up. But also the Nazis, especially the military, were also in contact with Draconians, Draconian reptiles. And they assisted a Nazi Germany in the war effort, in order to create their militarized or weaponized space program.
You know,
but, yes,
that is. Now, you know, I've read some of this stuff that you're talking about during like periods of time where I've done my own research, and a lot of what you're saying years back, I had come across some of it, and I just could not accept the idea that there would be all of this intervention and relaying of technologies by these other creatures. However, folks, I'm going to just say this. We have found that working with people, and this is just something that does not go away, we have seen a number of deliverances manifest when we have said specific prayers we've articulated for separation from reptilian, and we also have one for draconian genetics. And when people begin to get set free because of language like draconian genetics in prayer, that to me is the evidence that this is not fictitious at all. As a matter of fact, it seems to be that it is actually what happened. I'm sorry, I just had to say that, Robert, because, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they hear this, they're wrestling with it, they're like, man, how could this possibly be true? How could Daniel even have this on his program? I'm absolutely going to put this on my program because it is true. And you know, when we branch out into this, that's what's getting the breakthroughs with a lot of people that are in bondage at the higher levels. And so anyway, go ahead. Tell me, Robert, how were the Dracos involved in the Vril Society, and then get into some of their other involvement in like Project Montauk.
All right. There's overlap, of course, with Montauk and Nazi Germany, because the money, for one, that was used for setting up the Montauk after the Second World War. I don't mean 1970, as Preston Nichols and his gang tried to tell us, but goes even further back to the late 40s, early 50s, as we had already talked about in Montauk Exposed with another of your survivors, Elena. And so it goes even further back. That goes to the early 1950s, and then the earlier part goes back with the Brookhaven the Brookhaven laboratories that are deeply involved with the Montauk. But concerning the Draconians and Nazi Germany is that the Nazis, through their occult rituals and communication, like telepathy and other forms, started also to get in contact with Draconians, Draconian reptilians, who not only reside in space, as you also know through your clients, but they got pockets within the Earth where they reside. Now, yeah, one of the places that I found out, one of them is, among others, what we call the Falkland Islands. Maybe I talk a little bit later because of my experience. Some of my experience is also going to there. And this gives also another spin on the whole Falkland war.
Mm.
Besides the official version, of course. But there are a number of pockets, including Antarctica. In Antarctica, there are a number of pockets underground where Draconians and other beings are. And during the 1920s and 1930s, the Nazis also received communication about pockets underneath Antarctica that had whole cave systems. And the Nazis already sent an expedition in the late 30s to claim an area of the Antarctic as their own, called Swabenland. And they started to develop the underground pockets under Antarctica and develop their own underground base. And before the war, Second World War, and during the war, they has brought most of their high tech out of Germany, and they brought it to Antarctica. There's still a renegade faction of Nazi Germany that is still operating from there. But, of course, Hitler, who was, of course, mainly interested in order to weaponize the alien knowledge and technologies, got in contact with, the Draconians, and they gave them technologies that could be weaponized. But, of course, during the war, there were other so-called alien factions that also got involved, and they got involved on the side of the Allied forces. If that would have not happened, then you and I wouldn't be sitting here in freedom, and we have been speaking German. Because if only the Nazis were in contact with an alien ally and they had then developed the full technology, then the Nazis would have won this war. At least on our timeline. I know from Montauk we have seen timelines in which Nazi Germany won. We have been traveled through Montauk at least two timelines with Heidi and even other alters that ended up on timelines in which New York and Washington was nuked by Germany in order to make them surrender.
Yeah, and you had shared that.
On another occasion, there was already, before the war, a takeover by a faction within the government and the military that sided on Nazi Germany. And there's a strange coincidence or synchronicity. Thank God it didn't happen. They didn't succeed it. But in 1934... There was a certain general approach by a cabal within the military in order to throw to overthrow the current government, which should have been the government of Roosevelt, I think, in the 30s. And if they were successful, if that would have meant that they have closed, they would sided with Nazi Germany in the war when they would start.
Wow.
If they would have been succeeded. As what happened in one instance during one travel to a different timeline in which the US sided on the side of Nazi Germany. Together with the United Kingdom, because as we all know, United Kingdom is ruled by a Germanic bloodline, the Co-Saxon. Of course, they in 1917 they changed their name to Windsors because it wasn't politically correct while the United Kingdom were in war with, of course, with Germany. So they changed for political reasons the name from their German name to an anglicized name called Windsors. But the British head of the royal family, they are Germans and not British. They are Germanic bloodline coming from the Rothschilds, in this case also the Bowers, who created over centuries. The Bowers, as people may know or not, is a very ancient, occultic, and dark family from Germany, from the Black Forest in Bavaria. It's a family of warlocks and wizards. Robert's family, my family also got links, genetic links to this family as well, through my father's line. But this family created and brought forth the House of Co-Saxon, what we now know as the Winter family. They brought forward the Rothschild family, and to a minor extent they also brought forward what we know in the US as the Bush family from George Bush Sr. and even his father as Prescott Bush, who also was who played a big role during the Second World War, because his family he was one of the people who collected money for the Nazi agenda in the early part of the war. And so he went by to every elite family, ask money for the cause. And on my family side, on both sides, they gave each over $450,000 on both sides. I'm not sure.
Wow. Your family was funding the Nazis.
Yes, on both sides, as many other elite families, like the DuPont, the Bush family, like the Rockefellers and other families. And this went through Prescott Bush, who was head of one of the major banks in the U.S., and his job, one of his job was to collect money for the Nazi agenda and their connection with Nazi Germany. And my family, unfortunately, on both sides, they gave an amount over $450,000, but was then to the amount of that time. So I don't know right now if what it is equal to in currency of current day.
Hmm.
But it was a considerable amount,
mm-hmm.
to say the least, what my family on both sides has given. And many elite families in the U.S., as I said, the DuPont, the Rockefellers, the Bush, the Collins, and other, the Harriman family was another major one. But all the major Illuminati families in the U.S., they gave money for the cause for Nazi Germany. And of course, after the war with the Rockefeller Foundation, of course, they have completely falsified history. They gave a grant of $138,000 for one, in order to erase every connection, occult connection of the Nazis before and during the war. Because the Rockefellers knew very well that the Nazis had a thirst for anything of occult value before the war and during the war. In part, you could say the movie as Raiders of Lost Ark is based on truth. If people remember this movie with Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, and he came across Nazis and also broke archaeologists who were working for the Nazis in order to obtain objects that had occult values and other highly spiritual values. But in reality, it is based on a lot of reality, because the Nazis, they really spent a lot of, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on expeditions all around the world in order to obtain objects like the Spear of Destiny and no doubt the Ark of Covenant and other objects, because they truly believed that those, not only those objects existed, but they had also power. I know a lot of Christians probably will think, if you take, let's say, the covenant, what the Bible says about this box?
Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's totally probably allegory, but people like the Nazis, they really thought it was real, and they sent expeditions out in order to obtain objects like this. What, according to biblical texts and also other ancient texts, could move mountains or anything else. But and also the Thrill Society and the Thule Society, they also knew about objects like this or relics around the world. So they also spent a lot of money by sending out expeditions all around the world, from, let's say, certain areas in Europe, South Central America, up till the Himalayas. And that is also how they came in contact, of course, with in Tibet, because they also believed that the master race, what they called as the Aryan race, did not originate in Europe, but in the Far East, in particular as they fought in Tibet or in India, according to ancient scripts going back to the Vedas, is the Hindu religious text, ancient text.
That is also fascinating.
So so they send it out, they spend a lot of money and manpower in order to find all kinds of relics that they could use, study, and hopefully could use. And that is how they got in contact also with the so-called masters, who are so-called residing, according to New Age tales, in the Far East, or at least in Tibet and under Tibet. And when we talk about the so-called masters, as they call them in the New Age, we talk about not angelic beings, but about fallen angels and fallen spirits, who, of course, will say they are ascended. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of people are falling for it.
Mm. So true.
Even up till today. And also, another thing is that not especially Hitler, he had a great admiration for people as Ellis and Bailey and Blavatsky. He even slept with one of her books beside his bed. From Blavatsky. It was either Blavatsky or Bailey, who wrote books as The Hierarchy, something about the spiritual hierarchy, and also the books by Blavatsky. Hitler was a big fan of it, and he also was part of the organization that that Blavatsky had set up. I tried to think of the name of the, let's see, what was the name? Maybe it comes up later. And the Nazis had, when you take the New Age philosophy and the Nazi philosophy.
It's a Theosophical Society.
Yes, yeah. That is the one.
Mm-hmm.
What was set up by Blavatsky. And when you take the Nazi philosophy and also the New Age philosophy, it's a mirror of each other. They both using slightly different words, but they all say both one and the same thing.
Now, Robert, let's come back, because you began talking about the Vril Society, then you got into, yes, World War II and draconian influence. And yes. I just want to throw out a couple of verses here for those of you that are listening, because, you know, sometimes we're surprised at how certain things actually do ground out in the Bible. There are 34 references to dragons in the King James Bible. The Hebrew word tanin is often translated dragon, but not always, suggesting that there may be a number of hidden references to dragon. Now, of course, it also can mean whale, which is interesting. I don't know how that quite makes sense. But the Bible has some really interesting things to say about this,
yes,
particularly Deuteronomy 32:33, which says, "Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps." You know, that's just a direct reference to dragons and some of the ideas people had about them. And there's another verse that's even more fascinating, Job 30:29, which says, "I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls." And, you know, say what you want, the clear, straightforward interpretation of the text means that this guy somehow had draconian genetic code inside of him, causing him to say, "I'm a brother to dragons." And dragons are notorious for infecting human bloodlines with their DNA. We found that to be true even in modern day, which is why we have been seeing so much deliverance on this subject when we begin to get people separated and delivered from their draconian genetics. So there's a whole ton of other references. I just wanted to say, this isn't so far-fetched. But now, Robert, I want you to come back. I want you to talk about draconians, and if there was anything else you wanted to say about World War II, get into Montauk, and then talk to me about the, yeah, Falkland Islands.
All right. Concerning dragons, at least in my opinion, they are referring to two things. One, the reptilian bloodlines that live among humans. I certainly believe there's a strong reference to that, because the Bible, God, of course, knows everything, and he would know that the reptilians, they will mingle their bloodlines with us. So it's, for one, in my opinion, reference to that. But another thing is, what for me stands, is that when we talk about dragons, that there's another word for what we would call dinosaurs. People seem to think, oh yeah, dinosaurs only existed that many 66 million years ago. Then how they can explain that scientists, and I think Kent Hovind talked about it, and others, is that they found footprints of human footprints and dino footprints in one and the same strata that was unearthed. How is it possible if we have been living 66 million years apart, that so-called human footprint, although the footprint of human were much bigger than what we are now, but I could explain a little bit about that, why. And they found the dino footprint in the same level, ground level. And part of, we have to remember that, as the Bible talks about, I think, was it you or someone else that said that, that in the days of Job, I think it was, that he mentioned dragons or Naya, what we now call, of course, dinosaurs. Another thing is, of course, the word dinosaur is only a word that came into existence not sooner or later than in 1830, if I'm correct, around that time period. So that is for one reason why we find not in the Bible the word dinosaur, because it is only a recent development of a word or a new word. But beside this point, I only will say one thing. A reason that probably the human footprints were bigger and the humans were bigger is that, let's say, 2,000 years ago or even further back, the atmosphere content, especially in oxygen content, was much purer than now. We have, according to scientists, we have lost over at least 20%+ of oxygen. And our oxygen content nowadays is less than 18%, apparently, according to research data by scientists. So that means when the oxygen content was much purer and higher in numbers, and let's say 2,000 years ago or even before that, that also explains why in the Bible it is said how big some of the grapes were. You probably know what I mean, what passages of the Bible, when they were in the land of the giants, and they saw those giants walking around and picking up the grapes, what probably was almost as big as the humans, or at least part, or at least half of a human. You probably know what first I mean with this.
They talk about how they had to carry the grapevine between two men. And so it was very large, possibly also referring to genetic modification somehow of the plants. It's all so fascinating.
Now, I think it was Kent Hovind, who had the scientist, who mentioned about a scientist. I'm not sure the name of the scientist, but he did a bio experiment in the laboratory in a sealed tank with a higher oxygen content, but should have been in biblical times, according to his calculation. And what turned out that the animals and the plants had a 30% bigger growth over a certain time, and they were 30% bigger than they should be normally.
I remember reading something like that.
So what means that if his experiment is right and valid, so that explains in part for in biblical times, going back to up till 4,000 years ago, why, or even long ago, depending on in what millennium we talk about with Job, that explains why they saw, let's say, the grapes that many times bigger, besides the genetic modification, why things were much bigger than we have now. But so I will leave it for this about this part.
Okay.
To come back on what we talked about earlier with the Draconians and the Second World War and the Montauk, because that is all intertwined. As I said, a connection with the American Illuminati bloodlines in Nazi Germany is quite big. As already mentioned, that in the elite families, money were collected for the Nazi cause. Technically, that would also mean that our families have committed treason, especially if we were at that time also in the state of war. Because while but this part of it happens before the war, before Nazi Germany had declared the war. But if it also still continued with collecting the money and giving the money during the war, that we were officially in war, that also would mean that our families has committed treason.
It's true. So how?
Because, mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I was just going to say, so How were the Draconians involved in the Montauk?
American agencies were contacted, or they got in contact with certain groups of what we call extraterrestrials now. Probably some are inner Earth factions and civilizations. And within Draconians, they had been living for quite a while on this Earth. Even that some parts originate from the star system of Draconia, Draco, what is their political headquarters, and they got settlements in Orion and throughout our own solar system. But factions also live within the Earth, and after the war, after we became an atomic power as the United States, the U.S. was contacted by certain alien factions who made deals with the United States government, in particular with the Eisenhower administration. And the real power behind those factions were the Draconians, even that they had sent out the taller gray beings as their ambassadors. But it started already after 47, after the first UFO crash. Question is, if that was a man-made UFO or an alien UFO. Of course, the official story is still a weather balloon. But they certainly had taken and crashed a disc that was found. And there were quite a number of discs found over a time span from 1947 up till at least late 1950s throughout the U.S. and outside of the U.S. And, of course, they created in 47. After the Roswell episode, they created an agency called Majestic 12. What is an oversight committee? What only has its authority under the president? Even that the president, they only tell the president what they feel he should know. Now, yeah, that is certainly nowadays diddly squat. And they are a well-funded organization that now are mainly funded and operational with money that comes from the black world, underworld. And they are deeply into bed, metaphorically speaking, of course, with the military-industrial complex. So all the technologies that has been came in their possession went into the hands of the military-industrial complex, and they developed out of their secret space program. The flying saucers, a majority of the flying saucers that we see nowadays are not alien flying saucers, but those are piloted and created by us humans ourselves within the black underworld of the military-industrial complex. My mother, she has worked her whole life in this case, Northrop, also what became later Northrop Grumman. But we already talked, of course, the sessions about it, and out of this also came someone else came into existence. But that is not part of this conversation. But she worked her whole life. My mother was a multiple as well, meaning that I come from a generational family in which all my family before me and the ones after me has went through the same programming, the same traumas. And I'm so far the only one in my family that has stepped out and that is on its way to freedom. But again, to come back on the Draconians, during the many negotiations during the 1950s with our United States government, and they also apparently made agreements with other governments, even that they say they only will have agreements with the United States. We now know that they made agreements with the former Soviet Union as well. The Draconians got a couple of bases in that part of the world. And so, yeah, the Draconians came into play mainly in the 1950s. And through, of course, their connection to the Illuminati bloodlines, they had already a power base of course, within certain members of various governments, because the Rockefeller family is one of the draconian bloodlines. We got the Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, of course, what is a major bloodline within the banking world. Now, yeah, without the banking world, our government cannot operate, because without banking and without the loaning of money, there will be no government that will be able to function. So the draconians had always a major influence behind the scene in our world. But on a military level, their deep contact with our government started from the 1950s. And that started then with the Eisenhower administration. But underlining of this is also their involvement through the transfer of the Nazi technology and Nazi knowledge and money into the Montauk project. As I said before, and what me and Elena may have discussed in Montauk Exposed is that it started much earlier than the 1970 date that Preston Nichols and his gang gave us. What is a false date? What is this information about the startup? At least from my point of view, from what I experienced and what I know. Even my own entanglement in the Montauk started in 1970 through my main programmer at that time, Dr. Green, E.A. Dr. Joseph Mengele. He was a genetics consultant to the Montauk. And he was the one that brought me into the program. That was in 1970. Early 1970, in my case.
And folks, we do have in our archives on YouTube, also at our, you know, just our archives, a program called Montauk Exposed, and in that program, Robert and another survivor go through their experiences with Montauk, and that's what Robert just mentioned. Still available. You can go back and listen to that. And one of the interesting things, just to confirm the whole thing, I was working with them independently. They didn't even know each other. And I asked them both to draw me a picture of the Montauk chair. And they drew me the exact same picture. And that was how certain things got started. So
she was used earlier in the program. She's 7 years older than myself. So, and she was used earlier in the program. So it already shows that the program was much older than the so-called official urban legend history tells through Preston Nichols. Because Preston Nichols and his gang claims it started in 1970. But what is nothing more than this information.
Now talk to me about the Falkland Islands. What's going on with that one?
I may talk about, or some of my alter ego may told you about memories that have been resurfaced about around 1982, 83, one of those ID years. And I was only 16, around 16 or 17 at that time. And I memories is that, in my case, but my memories are partly related with this. But part of the Falkland War was not the cover story that just Argentina attacked and occupied the Falklands, what was for 100 or whatever years, over 100 years, in the hands of the British government. But it also holds deposits of minerals, or like oil and other things underneath. But another thing is it holds also a major and a major MI6 base there, especially a debriefing center. And people must know that the Falkland Islands are a group of islands 300 miles outside of the coast of Argentina, within the direction of the Antarctica. And during and after the war, Argentina was one of the countries that gave refuge to Nazis. there's a big Nazi population hidden within Argentina, and no doubt on the government level, the government works with Nazis, and some probably some of their knowledge. And another thing is, what has never been told, of course, in the media, is that we, under the islands, there's a pocket of, you could say, a caving system, if you like, that the English came across, and that was full with a group of, I cannot call them other than draconian reptiles. And as I said earlier on, is that the draconians, they had close connections during the war with Nazi Germany, and during the war a renegade group of Nazis developed this underground base on the Antarctica, what is still in existence today. And this group of draconians are probably tied in also with the renegade Nazis. And Argentina is also tied in with his renegade Nazis as well, seeing also the Nazis and their descendants up till the present day Argentina that are still living and working in Argentina. So you cut there an axis, as we had in World War II with the evil axis. You cut now an axis of, in this case, the renegade Nazis, the draconian faction, and Argentina. And they wanted, of course, to take over the island, take it away from the British, take it out of their hands. And they thought, we can start this war and overrun Argentina, overrun the Falklands, and no one will cry out for it. Yeah, unfortunately, they found out the hard way that Margaret Thatcher, of course, our Iron Lady, as she was called, of course, didn't like that, and she sent out her special forces and other troops, and also she had help from the United States, because Navy SEALs within the U.S. Navy were involved in secret, covertly as well, because people seemed to think it was only a war from Great Britain, but Great Britain had also in help. Covert help by the Americans. And myself and a group of other Navy personnel, because I remember in the memory that I had a Navy uniform on, what was white, so I must have been of a certain rank. Not all my memories has been come back, so I hope over time to get more memories back. And then the picture will be clearer, but I remember that I was on board of the Nimitz, which is a group of other seven men. I was the youngest in this group. And from the Nimitz, we were brought over in a Sikorsky helicopter, and we were brought over to another aircraft carrier called Hermes. And as we all know, Hermes is another name for Foat, if I'm correct. That's another name for Foat.
Yep.
And we all know I have a lot of dealings with this principality in Fortune, but the British, they had an aircraft carrier called, named after this principality, or in the Egyptian cultures, they call it a god. But nonetheless, it is a principality and a dark one. But they had this aircraft carrier, part of the fleet, that were shipped to the Falklands. And I was apparently sent as an observer of some sort, with two others from out of the seven or eight others that were sent over. But what I have learned over those years, and what I remember from my memories, is that the Falkland War was much more than just an occupation in this case from Argentina. As okay. I said, they were close allies with the renegade Nazis that are still up till the present underneath Antarctica, and with the draconian reptilian faction that were within the Falkland Islands.
That is also fascinating. Now, I want to, if you don't have anything else to say on that, come back around to European politics.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Apparently, a lot has been happening so far. I've been following the news. So far, I've seen France got now a new president. What is his name again? I tried to... Emmanuel Macron.
Yep.
If I'm correct with the name.
Macron, yes.
And I was looking up his picture, and to my surprise, it was one of the pictures I recognized during satanic rituals over the last 5 years. The last major one that I was at being used in was 2013. And one of the faces I remember is the face of the new president of the Republic of France. If it is, yeah, this is a republic, if I'm correct. Well, whatever they call him.
I believe so.
And his face was one of the faces I strongly remember from rituals so well in the US as Europe. And Bohemian Grove not only got male members or male participants from the U.S., they got participants and guests on behalf of others that come from all over the world. But I've also seen many rituals. One of them was the Castle of Darkness in Belgium, in a small village of Monroe. And also Macron was one of the participants as well. And he is a bank. Officially, he's not a banker. But what, of course, official history and the news don't tell us is that he was a part of the Rothschild bankers, meaning he worked for a Rothschild bank. And his wife, I'm not sure what her name is, but she, again, is also part of the Illuminati network, and she is most likely, and my feeling for this is at least for 99%, is that their marriage is not just a marriage, but she is also his programmer and handler, and it was already way planned decades ago, at least a decade, if not maybe 15, 16 years ago, that at one point he would become president, And that means to me, and my feeling is very strong on this, that the French elections are rigged. Because they couldn't allow France to come in the hands of Marine Le Pen. Because if she would have been in power, that this would have been a disaster for the Illuminati in Europe under the Rothschilds. Because that means that France... if Le Pen had her way, she would have put out a referendum for France about in or out of Europe, as what happened with the United Kingdom with Brexit. And if France would have decided to get out, because she would have also played out on the race card and the Muslims, and she got a valid point, because let's be honest, that France got a major problem. They got one of the biggest Muslim populations in Europe, together with Germany. And if Le Pen would have played out that card, if she would have been in power, that would have meant that France would have stepped out of Europe, and the whole European Union, as the Illuminati's wet dream, if you like, would have fallen apart.
So that was a hit they just couldn't take after Brexit and some of the
That's
other...
That's right. And in my feeling, the next elections in the United Kingdom, because of this, will be also in my feeling being rigged. Because they're going to continue with Theresa May, who will even weaken the negotiations in the coming years. So that the Illuminati still get their way And they probably kind of call out another referendum, trying to get the United Kingdom back in the European Union in one form or another. And Theresa May is another participant, but has been on high rituals. I have seen her on the same rituals as Macron, including her husband. And also in those rituals were also present people like the Rothschild, the main members of the Rothschild family, the Windsor family, the Royal Dutch elite bloodline of the Royal family, the House of Orange, I mean, has been present on those rituals, and a host of other bloodline families within Europe. So in this case, I get a feeling when the election is going to take place in June of this year in England, it's going to be rigged again, and that means that Theresa May is going to be re-elected, and she kind of weakened the negotiations to such a way that, for one, the Muslim problem will stay as it is, because there will be more of an influx, not as they have promised, the border getting close, and that the United Kingdom kind of decide how many people they kind of let in, because that is not in the interest of the Illuminati. They want the West European countries completely overswamped by Muslim population, so that then the white Christian population in Europe can be over time eliminated. If not, yeah, that is one of their plans. And they believe if we replace the Christian population, we are able to handle the Muslim population in a better way. Or even they will exterminate for so much, so far they can, because they still need a certain amount of people in order to be their servants. But the whole depopulation of Europe from with white people, with white Christians, one of their ways is the Trojan horse by letting in all those Muslim refugees. Because they see the Muslims as a lesser threat than the Christian population. They want to wipe out every Christian in the earth, because they believe if all the Christians in the world are wiped out, when it would be time for Jesus Christ would come and there would be no Christian alive, then in their eyes, Jesus Christ has no valid reason and a legal reason to be here. Wow. When we have Agenda 21 for depopulation on a grand scale, you could say the whole refugee crisis, what is an artificial created crisis, is, let's say, another form of the 21 agenda, but then in a genocide from a Christian population. And it was already also planned over 30, 40 years ago. I got parts who were used in meetings, so over in the US and also in the UK, who were sitting in their program state, who were at meetings in which they talked about matters like this.
That and makes so much sense.
Then my parts were sent from the US to Europe in their program state. And one of my parts has been programmed as a verbatim computer. So one alter comes out, is pulled out, let's say during a meeting, let's say it could be a council of formulation or Bilderberg meeting or any of those round tables. And during a meeting, one alter is called out and is used as a verbatim recorder, live verbatim recorder. During a meeting, then I'm sent over, or the body is sent over, and then on the other side, if the Rothschilds haven't been present, that altar is pulled out with the recording of that meeting, and then it will be played out verbatim, every word, comma, etc., what had been talked about. And in one of those meetings in the 70s, I was used as such, and one of their meetings was about an artificial problem what we have now in the Middle East, in which we have now this whole swarm of Muslim refugees that are now being sent over Europe and even the United States. How is it that those Muslim refugees are not being taken into Muslim countries, especially the rich countries? Countries like Jordan, or countries like the Emirates, and countries like Saudi Arabia. They got more money than most countries in the West nowadays, with all the economic mayhem. And those countries could have taken in most of the Muslim refugees from the West, from the Middle East. But why is it that they are being sent to Western Europe and to the United States? What people also don't realize is the refugee agency that goes about refugees around the world from the United Nations, they decide which refugees goes to where. And this agency from the United Nations, I'm not sure at the moment the name of it, I may have to Google it, but they have decided for some reason, and this agency is heavily, of course, corrupted by the Illuminati and its members, they have decided that they will only allow Muslim refugees out of the Middle East to be sent to other countries for refuge, and the Christian populations has left in those camps, or sometimes not even in those camps, and they have been left on their own, and they are now the victim of the extremist groups like ISIS and other groups, and it's mainly the Christian populations in the Middle East that are now being killed. And the agenda now is when they have brought in the Trojan horses of the Muslims into Western Europe over the last 10 years, what we have seen and more, they will now, we're going to see now that over, let's say over another decade, a majority of the Muslim population will be much bigger than the original population of the country. And that means that the Christian population going to be a minority in West European countries. But also mean over time that the Muslims, when they are majority, they can set up a political party, and with elections, their party will come in power. And we're going to see this in the next 5 to 10 years in Europe. And if we don't watch out back home in the U.S., if we don't stop the influx of Muslims, then we're going to have to face the same problems. And if Canada, our neighbor, will continue to let Muslims in, but the same what will happen in Europe will also happen in Canada. But it is all part of an agenda in order to root out Christians around the world.
That is very fascinating.
A Christian genocide.
Mm-hmm.
As we had the Holocaust, it's going to be a new Holocaust instead of the Jewish Holocaust. Although Jews, no doubt, will be also part of it, because the Muslims will go after anyone except Muslims, unless you want to turn, you want to become a Muslim, but if not, then you're going to be killed. So we're going to deal in the future as part of the Illuminati agenda with the new Holocaust.
And there's been a lot of talk about that in Christian circles. I mean, you're bringing a whole lot of insight to this, and I really appreciate that. You know, even to the extent that there have been certain people out there that have suggested there's going to be a Muslim Antichrist, which I don't know if that's realistic, considering everything we're learning about the hybrid program.
Yes.
But that also brings me to the subject of the hybrid program. Robert, you've said a little bit about the hybrid program, some on this program and also with other programs that we've been on, but you have so much to say about this thing. What What's going on with the hybrid program from your memory and your perspective?
The hybrid program goes way back. We go to at least to the end of the Second World War, at least on the U.S. side, when it began, when they started to work more and more on it. Of course, Nazi Germany already was working on it, was already working on it before, because we took, of course, a lot of the geneticists over in Operation Paperclip. So our knowledge become more streamlined because the Nazis, through their connection with the fallen angels, disguised as alien beings like the Aldebarans and, of course, the Draconians, who are falling under the fallen angels. Yeah, they started, of course, the developing of hybrids already much sooner. But within the U.S., we started after the Second World War, and one of the major centers is, of course, Dalsy, but is known for it. But there are other bases that I have been brought to. One of them is Palms 29, what is within the desert of California. And this base also has a cloning center. A lot of our famous artists has been brought there in a program state, and they made clones from quite a number of artists, pop artists for one. When we take the, I must say, one of the artists that I always liked was Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears. Both of them, by the way, has been cloned. We certainly know from with Britney Spears that she has been killed off in 2011, and the ones that we see now is a full series of clones, to name one. But also with Christina Aguilera, they have cloned her and replaced her with a clone or clones, and no doubt there are quite a number of other artists now that also that are using clones with. But the cloning process that goes, of course, way back, to the early 60s and late 50s that I started it up. I think in the 80s there was a talk, apparently, that even people as President Carter was a clone, one of the earlier ones. I don't believe it was, personally, but there was already talk within certain circles, what we would now call, let's say, like the conspiracy world. Especially with a book that came out in the 80s on mind control and genetic cloning called The Matrix book series by insiders within the military within the military and intelligence, early whistleblowers who came out. So that brought a number of things to the surface then, but my experience goes to among others as the Dalsy base that I have been brought to. I've been brought to one of his sister bases in Europe. One of them is the one under Reykjavik in Iceland. What is another major one, and another base that I've been brought to under, and I live in that country now, is what is called an area called the Brecon Beacons, what is in Wales. And that got also a major base of 15,000 personnel. That is under an area in which what is used by police training on the service in the Brecon Beacons. And also the SAS in the United Kingdom also training on the in the Brecon Beacons as well. But underneath is another major base, what is, by the way, not owned, what is not operated and controlled by the United States, by the United Kingdom government and military, but it's operated and in control by the United States National Security Agency, this base. And this base is all interconnected through the maglev system that we may talked about earlier with other bases around the world. And this maglev runs through the under the ocean it got various stops along the way that goes and all the way to the United States. It also goes to other areas within Europe as well, and various castles. Because one of the way how not only people that attend rituals are flown in, sometimes they have also been flown in or brought in, depending on where the rituals are, as in through the MetLife system.
Would you suggest that a majority of deep underground military bases engage in some, component of the hybrid breeding program?
Yes.
Would you also say there's a lot of overlap between cloning programs and the hybrid breeding program?
I certainly would say that as well, yes. And now, the cloning programming, of course, came in part out of the hybrid. But the hybrid, of course, is in order for it to create out of two species, one species, what got the best of both in it, and it's even much stronger than the original two. But the cloning, that is just to make a cloned body in what can then contain the soul essence, whatever you want to call it, soul or the soul matrix. Mm-hmm. So that when the physical body has been lift out its life, that they can place the soul matrix into another body, or they can use the clone bodies to place in the soul, place in the essence of demons or disincarnated spirits. The cloning project can be used for various means. It can be used, to create a couple of series of clones, from certain members of, the Rothschild families, so that when they get ill or old age, and that they can transplant the soul essence through transmigration, that they can place that soul essence into a clone body so that that person can live on, and that they can cheat out with that. A good example of some of the very ancient families, like the Rothschilds, has been using transmigrations for centuries. One particular family in part is the Windsors. Queen Mom, the one that died, the very old lady who was very small and things like that. The old type of granny, as they call it, the granny of the Windsor family, as the British called her, she has not died officially for 700 years, and same with Elizabeth II.
Now, what? Because a lot of people are going to struggle with this one because, that's not possible. Well, folks, part of the problem is that what's being passed is not completely human. I think, Robert, that they're passing a reptilian form from one generation to the next. Is that true, or am I confused?
Yes, when you talk about reptilian bloodlines, part of the DNA is mammalian. Well, like most humans. But that is 50%. But the other 50% is reptilian in one form or another. Because when we talk about reptilian bloodlines, we talk about several reptilian species out there. It's not only draconians. The draconians are maybe on the heap. They are on the top of the pyramid. But there are other reptilians in the mix as well. But when you have, you got one family that give birth, you got one family or two families that marry each other. They both are reptilians, of course, because they only marry with their own kind. So they can a female from a bloodline marry a male member of another bloodline. Both are hybrid bloodlines because they both exist out of reptilian and mammalian DNA. So when they both give offspring, again, that bloodline, the next one, is again of the same ratio. And this is how they have been doing for thousands of years. That is why they only interbreeding with their own kind, with what they call blue blood.
And that's...
my family is one example in this, because I was not allowed to marry what the family would call a commoner. I hope that I don't offend listeners out there, but I was only allowed to marry certain people that came from the same bloodlines, from the same inner, you could say, higher levels of the upper class.
And Robert, that's one of the reasons why, like, I'm personally convinced that people don't just get initiated into the true Illuminati, because I'm under the impression that it's all about the bloodlines.
Yes, and it's all a preservation of the bloodlines and the innate knowledge within the reptilian genes.
So if people say, I joined the Illuminati, chances are, in my opinion, they're just becoming a puppet, but they're not really, truly in, because they weren't born in. You would agree with that?
Yes. Okay. You only get in through being a bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who wants to join, for one, they have to join then the Freemasons. That is the most outer ring, if you want to call it like that. And that takes quite some years before you have even gone through the first three levels. But even when you are reaching the 33rd degree, I know officially, we got only of the 33rd degree degrees official. But I also know that some of my members in the family are even going much higher. I know for a fact that in this case, one of my main abusers, George Bush Sr., is an 88 degree Freemason. The one that is still alive,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't want to seem to want to die. But yeah, you can only be really true part of the Illuminati if you are only by blood. You can join, let's say, your local Masonic temple and go through the initiation of, let's say, all the levels, but that will take decades. And again, you only being used, because they only allowed to join you if they have a usage for you, if they can use you as a puppet. So even if you, let's say, reaching the 32nd, and 33rd degree, still, you have not, even when you reach the 33rd degree, you are still not been told the truth. If you got, let's say, two people that are been initiated in the 33rd degree of grandmasters, you got one that come from let's say a non-bloodline family, and you have one that come from a bloodline family, like the DuPont, Collins, the Rockefeller, Rothschild family, etc., or Windsors, or House of Orange, or Grimaldi's. If you got one member that comes from that level, and you got, let's say, a Jane Doe that has joined and reached also that level, the Jane Doe got still told a different story than the pure bloodline member who has been initiated, because he got more told of the truth than the one who is the Jane Doe, even on that level of being becoming grandmaster.
Interesting.
Because only the true bloodline families, they will be really told the real agenda, the real truth about everything. And even after the 33rd degree, especially the 13 levels above the 33rd degree, Yeah, the Clintons are on one of those levels, and Hillary is equivalent to those levels, but they're not in Masons. But then they got also their female offshoots, the Eastern Star Society. That got so well. That is, you could say, a female version of the Masons, although it is by gender, because they've got also male members as well. But females are equally able to come in that organization. And Hillary Clinton is on the, in that organization, and she got an equivalent level, what goes up till 13 levels above the 33rd degree Freemasons within the Eastern Star. And my mother was high up in the West Coast division of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other high-level female Illuminati members as well. As I said, yeah, the Masons itself is, of course, a male fraternity, so females cannot officially join that organization. But also shows how sexistic that organization is as well, from that point of view. But yeah, the Eastern Star is the female version of the Freemasons, and officially, of course, they say, oh yeah, we are a fraternity into charity and all that, but that is a load of BS, because that is only a cover.
That's right. And people that have come from Freemasonry bloodlines often need to do lots of renunciations over curses that are brought in and bloodline iniquity because of that group. And,
yes.
And the same goes for Eastern
Star. You're
probably cutting
out all female survivors who also may have mentioned you to you also the Eastern Star Society from
exactly.
their mother side.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Robert, I want to get to one more subject before we close out this program. And of course, there's a whole slew of things we could talk about. But I want to get into, for the next 10, 15 minutes or so, some secret insights that are coming through entertainment right now.
Yes. To come back on what we see, of course, what we already talked about, the hybrid program. And up till at least 15 years ago, at a certain time, I like to play a lot of games at times. I think we still got a couple of games on the laptop that that Lauren plays sometimes. And to my surprise, one of the things that some of the game shows is some of the subjects that we have been talking about. For one of the games is, for instance, that I played, and that got some of the subjects that we talked about, hybrid programs and creating of hybrid creatures and things like that. A few games that I want to mention in this, that got this element in it, is a couple of old ones from 15 years ago, as Return to Castle Wolfenstein, for one, and the Wolfenstein game series that came afterwards. Another one that I played at the time, Far Cry, especially the first one, again, that had also the theme with Nazis in it, hybrid, creation of hybrid monsters, and things like that. But we see, we are being groomed for the hybrid program on a multitude of levels. The gaming industry is one of them, as an example, with the two examples I gave you. But when we look at also the TV entertainment and movies entertainment, we already can see a lot of movies. I only have to put up my Netflix and go through, let's say, the series or the movies with the Captain, especially the movies of Marvel entertainment, like Captain America, and a host of other movies that came out over the last 10 years, that all has hybrids in it, and in which they try to glorify the coming hybrids that are being created in our laboratories. It's almost that they want to groom our current young population of children, the future adults, to groom them for what will be unleashed in the near future. And of course, entertainment is a good way to do this. And you can do it in a hidden way, because most people, when they play those games, they don't even realize, or when they watch the movies, they see a nice story, nice action, yeah, because a lot of, especially the males, they like a lot of action and guns go ho and all that type of thing, but they don't see further than that within what is really behind, what is hidden underneath the storylines. So when we take like Captain America and the whole franchise that came out of it, Hellboy is another good example about it. It's about this guy that was badly created by Nazis, and after the war he was found, I think, in an abandoned underground base or cave by the Allied forces, and he was taken in. I'm not sure if you are familiar with that movie in particular, but again, you see all symbolism that we have been talking about, what goes not only to Nazi Germany, but what is now going on in our underground bases within the United States, within the United Kingdom, and other places around Europe, in which they try to create hybrid beings that will be used for the end time, and that the Illuminati are going to use and implant those disconnected spirits in. When you take the gaming industry, the movie industry, it is rife with occultism, with occult knowledge, with creation of hybrids. It's almost, you almost fall over it, how much it comes in your face.
And the thing is, I know a lot of people that listen, at least to my program, thanks to people like you, have eyes open when they are watching entertainment. And it is. I mean, that is something that is so true, right? They are conditioning the population at large, and even, you know, now, because it all targets young children and going into their teenage years, everyone's being conditioned. That's what I see. To be prepared for the removal of a veil, like where, you know, hybrids are just, you know, out in their plain day.
First, it started with conditioning about aliens,
mm-hmm,
in the first waves. And since around 2000, you suddenly see a lot of, what I said, computer games about hybridization, what Nazi Germany was doing, what they were trying to create hybrid creatures, what could be used as a weaponized effort to defeat the enemy, and what our Illuminati back home has been creating as well. But we all see it over the, I mean, we take all the games created over the last 15, 20 years, you see all those elements back, and you are really right. Our young generation of kids, who are the next generation of adults, they are being groomed so that they will accept this as a reality, as a normality.
And, you know, the thing is, and this is like a shocker, but we won't be the first generation exposed to this weirdness, or, you know, David and his mighty men fought with giants, like, and they just knew that they were there and they were real, and it was
for
like
them, it was for them, it was a reality of every day.
Uh-huh.
It was for them a reality of breathing air, or going putting your rope out in the river to fish.
Well, and this is what people need to understand, right? Because, you know, maybe we don't see it like walking down the street to the corner store, but there are many people that are survivors, or that have had encounters with entities coming out of these hybrid programs. It is right now. It is today.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, the masses are being conditioned to accept what is, and it's, wow. Well,
on a different level,
mm-hmm,
they already hybridized the population, especially in the U.S. Thank God in Europe, they stopped at least this company from getting a foothold. It's Monsanto with all the genetic fried food.
Oh my.
Everything in America, probably 99% of the foods and everything what we eat and drink is already genetically modified, but also will modify the its uses. So anyone in America that uses all the soft drinks and all the other products, they are not fully human anymore after a while. Because bit by bit, they are being changed in a hybrid. In very subtle ways.
Huh. You know, that is a whole other subject. Robert,
I know, but it is another can of worms. Oh, but yes. It is a reality. And so far, the European Union, as I said over the last 20 years to Monsanto, at least in Europe, you're not going to get a foothold here. So the genetic food, for one, is not as present and overly present as in the U.S.
Well, dang, right, because you're over there. But for us over here, it's like, oh, this Lord bless this food, please. Robert, I just want to say thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. And I would say I got still much more to tell on this anyway. And I want to say to anyone who's listening who has a feeling and a bearing with memories that has come to the surface, as a possible victim of satanic ritual abuse through programming in other ways, there are out there ministries like Bright Ministries and Breakthrough Ministries who are working with survivors, and those people like Daniel and others can help you out. The only thing that you have to do is go online, Google the names of the ministries, and try to contact with the people there, especially the ones that work with survivors, and through this and through their work with the Holy Spirit and through God's angels, they can help you to undo what the enemy has done, and they can over time bring you back into one piece. And I certainly would advise to people who think that they are survivors, yeah, to reach out to ministries like that from Daniel Arts, Bride Ministries.
And I also want to just say this, folks, and thank you for that, Robert. On our page, on our website, bridemovement.com, we do have a tab called DID Solutions. And on that page, you can find links to the coaches that we network with and reach out to any one of them directly. And all of their contact information is provided on our website if you would like some help. And, you know, with that said, folks, we are out of time. Now, we will have Robert back again at some point in the future. So don't worry. He has a lot more to say and we are going to talk about it. But for today, what I'm going to say is God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.